It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And today is October 13th, a very important day in the history of Pittsburgh. It was on this day, October 13th, 1960, 55 years ago, that the Pittsburgh Pirates clinched the 1960 World Series against the New York Yankees, defeating them in the bottom of the ninth inning of the seventh game on a home run by Bill Mazeroski, the only time that's happened in World Series history. And I'm standing now in Posvar Hall, which stands at the location where Forbes Field once stood. It was torn down in the early 1970s. On this spot, and in conjunction with the history of this day, the University of Pittsburgh has opened up an exhibit of 30 photos, some taken by the legendary Teeny Harris, which represent scenes from Pirates baseball as well as other things that occurred at Forbes Field. With me now is Pitt history professor Rob Ruck, a sports historian who's going to tell us about the history behind the photographs and this exhibit. Rob Ruck, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
We are standing right now in front of some photos, four photographs of the early days of Forbes Field. Describe for us, Rob, what we're looking at.
Well, not long after the 1960 World Series, Pitt acquired Forbes Field. And in acquiring that old ballpark to tear down to build academic classrooms, it took over stewardship of the space. And this installation of photos celebrates some of the great sporting activities that took place here between 1909 and 1970, from the Pirates to Pitt football to the Negro Leagues, the Steelers, and boxing.
And so what we're looking at here in this first group of photographs are, as I mentioned, early days of Forbes Field. It's amazing to see how the stadium looked. We're looking at a photograph right in the middle here of people walking up to the front entrance of Forbes Field wearing old-time suits and street-length dresses, the fedoras that men are wearing, the Easter Parade-type hat that the woman in the foreground of the photo is wearing, and they're all walking up to a Forbes Field with bunting on it. So this is, if not the day that it opened, right around that day in 1909.
Well, the shot you're referring to is from the 1909 World Series. Pirates won the pennant that year and faced the Detroit Tigers in the World Series. The Tigers were led by Ty Cobb. The Pirates were led by Hannes Wagner, whose photo is included here. And the man, of course, responsible for Forbes Field is Barney Dreyfus. Dreyfus came over from Freiburg, Germany, a 17-year-old immigrant who ended up in Paducah, Kentucky. In 1882, by the time he got to Pittsburgh in 1900, he was the principal owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were playing in Exposition Park on the north side, which didn't seat that many, flooded every spring, and had fire-prone, rickety wooden grandstands. So Dreyfus, anticipating that the city was moving eastward, acquired this land, filled in a ravine, and with $2 million of his own money in 6 months, built Forbes Field, which was one of a dozen or so classical concrete and steel ballparks built in that era. And though Shibe Park in Philly was the first, this was the nicest.
And we all have memories of Forbes Field. You were there. I got to get there just before they tore it down, and the memory will never go away.
I think for a lot of people, this is fairly iconic ground.
And of course, part of the history of Forbes Field is the Negro Leagues. And let's look at some photographs from those historic days when the Crawfords and the Grays were among the teams that played at Forbes Field. We're looking at a group of photos now of the Negro League teams and players that called Forbes Field home. And we're also looking at one of the greatest players in the history of baseball who unfortunately never had the chance to play in the major leagues, the great Homestead Grays catcher Josh Gibson. What an amazing photo that is. And these were taken by Teeny Harris.
Two of the shots were by Teeny. We're not sure who took the one of Josh.
Really?
The folks at the Carnegie Museum of Art don't think it was Teeny, and hopefully we'll find out one day who the photographer is.
Well, what's great about it is, you know, he was called the Babe Ruth of the Negro Leagues, and much like Babe Ruth, he's surrounded by kids.
I have heard stories about Josh Gibson all over Western Pennsylvania, in Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, and the stories are all the same, that he hit the longest home run that people ever saw. Josh went back and forth between the Pittsburgh Crawfords and the Homestead Grays, and he never played for a team that had a losing season. And for both the Grays and the Crawfords, when Gibson was in the lineup, it often led to a Negro League championship. During the 30s and early 40s, when you had Cool Papa Bell flying around the base paths, Gibson hitting home runs further than anybody had ever seen before, and Satchel Paige telling his fielders to sit down, walking the bases loaded on purpose, and striking out the side. Pittsburgh really was the crossroads of black baseball in a baseball world that included not just the United States, but much of the Caribbean Basin.
Well, they're beautiful photos, and I think Forbes Field looks its best when there's a baseball game being played. However, it wasn't the only sport being played. Let's look at some of the football history at Forbes Field. Before Three Rivers Stadium, the Steelers called Pitt Stadium home, but they also played a majority of their games for years at Forbes Field. And we're looking at some photos of those days, and a photo of a young Art Rooney, the owner of the Steelers.
Back when Art Rooney purchased a franchise in the NFL in 1933, he needed a place to play. And Barney Dreyfus was happy to allow him to play at Forbes Field at a time when Pitt looked down on professional football, as most colleges did. Rooney's team played here in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. They had a heck of a lot more losing seasons than winning seasons. But even when you beat the Steelers, they kind of beat up on you. And he had some wonderful players, including Bill Dudley, John Henry Johnson, Bobby Lane, and others, who established that tough ethos that Pittsburgh has always brought to the football world.
And one of the photos here is of the very first victory by the Steelers over the Cleveland Browns in the 1950s. Hooray!
The Cleveland Browns, when they were created, belonged to a rival football conference, which eventually merged with the NFL. And the Browns were the best team in football in those years, and they regularly kicked the stuffing out of the Steelers. And this game, they intercepted Hall of Famer Otto Graham about a half dozen times. This shot with the sun shining through is of Paul Cameron intercepting him, and they finally beat the Browns. Well, that was a long time before they gained real respectability.
Clearly a momentous occasion, because you refer to the sunshine, and it's as though the rays of the sun are streaming down from heaven on a glorious Steeler victory.
It was a divine moment.
Let's take a look at some of the Pitt football history at Pitt Stadium. Go right this way. We are looking at photographs now of the Pitt Panthers football team, as well as Carnegie Tech, as it was known in those days. Glory days for each of these schools who, well, Pitt certainly won national championships aplenty back when they were playing at Forbes Field. And Carnegie Tech, there's a photograph of their great upset of Notre Dame back in 1926, I believe it was.
Pitt played here until they built Pitt Stadium in 1925. They had two legendary coaches, Pop Warner, who in some ways was Mr. Football, and a guy named Jock Sutherland, who came from Scotland, started studying dentistry, and was persuaded to go out for the football team. The first game he ever saw was the first one he played in right here at Forbes Field. By the time he left Pitt, he was an All-American, and he returned later to coach Pitt, and then later coached here when he led the Pittsburgh Steelers after World War II. These really were glory years for Pitt football. They had a three-year span where they won undefeated. They had seasons where nobody scored a point against them. And they became an integral part of the way in which Pittsburgh uses sport to tell its story to the world.
And there's a strapping a photo of a young, strapping Jock Sutherland, the former Pitt coach who had a straw hat in his hand when that photo was taken.
Sutherland was a disciplined, tough guy who molded teams. You know, he was the kind of guy that people would say he could take his players and beat your team, or your players and beat his team. He was somebody that Art Rooney badly wanted to coach the Steelers, and he finally got him for two seasons after the war, and he had them on the cusp of reaching the playoffs when he died suddenly in the offseason from a stroke.
And now let's go down and look at one last aspect of Forbes Field sports history that involves the sweet science known as boxing. And here we are looking at some marvelous photos of championship fights at Forbes Field. Let's have you tell us, Rob, what these are.
Roy McHugh, who I think is probably the greatest sports writer in Pittsburgh history, called Pittsburgh in the late 30s a fight town. And it really was. Five of the eight world champions came from Western Pennsylvania at a time when there really were only eight world champions. These photos reflect some of the two of the great local fighters, as well as a heavyweight championship fight. This shot is Fritzy Zivic, one of five Zivic brothers from Lawrenceville. He's here, he's taking on Jake, the Raging Bull LaMotta. Zivic would be a world champion. The shot in the middle is Billy Kahn, the Pittsburgh Kid, along with Jack Dempsey, the former heavyweight champion of the world, here in the bowels of what was Forbes Field. Kahn, Zivic, and all your great Pittsburgh fighters fought outside, right in this park, when they had a fight that would draw tens of thousands. The shot here on the left is a prize-winning photo by James Klingensmith. Jersey Joe Walcott, who had been knocked out, I think, by Joe Louis, by Rocky Marciano, by Ezard Charles, is getting his fifth and clearly his last title shot against world champion Ezard Charles. And to everybody's surprise, he just knocked Charles out. Charles is struggling to get to his feet after that punch, but he doesn't make it. And Walcott becomes the champ.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And my guest is University of Pittsburgh history professor Rob Ruck, a sports historian who's taking us through a new permanent photographic exhibition at Posvar Hall on the University of Pittsburgh campus that ties in with the 55th anniversary of the Pirates beating the Yankees in Game 7 of the 1960 World Series. There's one last thing I want to see, and there's a little piece of Forbes Field history that is embedded in the floor here, and I want you to take me over and show me it. Would you, Rob?
Sure. Years ago, the home plate from Forbes Field was embedded in the floor here under plexiglass. It's not the exact location of Forbes Field, which would be inside the McCarl Center of the College of General Studies. There's also by it, I think, two really significant photos. One is the most incredible shot that was taken from the Cathedral of Learning with students outside in a little balcony area looking down on Forbes Field at the moment of Mazeroski's home run. The other was a former mayor and governor, David Lawrence, the Renaissance mayor, who helped rebuild Pittsburgh after World War II. And understood the role that sport played in this city, called the 1960 World Series the civic cement on the Pittsburgh Renaissance, and then, of course, was instrumental in getting Three River Stadium built, because he knew that if the Steelers and the Pirates were to compete financially with clubs that had municipally built stadiums, they needed a new facility to play. And out of that comes probably the most amazing decade in Pittsburgh sporting history, that of the 70s, with the 71 and 79 World Series, the four Super Bowls.
Don't forget Pitt's national championship
how
in
could
football.
I? My students. But, you know, that city of champions was built on what took place here at Forbes Field for 61 years. And what took place here at Forbes Field was built on the sand lots and the neighborhood gyms. The Steelers, the Crawfords, the Grays were local clubs of kids who emerged as professionals, whether it's Billy Kahn or Art Rooney. They came up in Pittsburgh and stayed here and made this city known for something other than steel.
Rob Ruck has been our guest. He is a professor of history at the University of Pittsburgh and the author of books including Raceball. He joined us to take us through a new photography exhibit at Posvar Hall at the University of Pittsburgh on this 55th anniversary date, October 13th, 2015. October 13th, 1960. You were here when the Pirates won the World Series, and thanks for being here with us today, Rob.
Thanks, Paul.
And there used to be a ballpark where the field was warm and green, and the people played their crazy game with a joy I'd never seen.
And you can look at the photos, some of them, from the exhibition on the ground floor of Posvar Hall at our website, wesa.fm. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening, and so long for now.
A ballpark right here. And